The following program is brought to you by listeners like you. To help support This Week in Blackness and all of the TWIB FM projects, please go to donate.twib.me. That's donate.twib.me. Help us be the media that you want to hear and that the media needs to hear.
You are now listening to TWIB FM. Real talk, real awesome.
Good afternoon. It's Wednesday, April 2nd, and today on TWIB Radio, Monica Brooks is here with us to talk about World Autism Day. A convicted child molester won't get any jail time just because the judge thinks that he wouldn't do well in jail. And Mississippi is trying to discriminate against LGBT people, all in the name of religious liberty. All this and more with Team Blackness on TWIB Prime.
So from now on, whenever you hear these horns, just know you are now entering the blackness. Collard greens, cornbread, and the catfish. Malcolm X and Dr. King were the black fist. We all laugh, son, this is blackness. You are now entering the blackness. Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, and the classics. Real love, the opposite of ratchet. We all laugh, son, this is blackness.
What is going on, people? We are back. This is This Week in Blackness Prime. I am your host, Elon James White. With me, as per usual, is Team Blackness, consisting of Captain, Lieutenant, General, Professor. On occasion, he is some sort of doctor. He is the Negro Jon Snow in our Negro Game of Thrones, which is becoming way more relevant since Game of Thrones is almost back, son. We have Aaron Rand Freeman, sir.
What day is it come back? I know it's April soon. When anybody have, what's the exact
Sunday.
Day?
I think it's this weekend, yeah. Possibly.
What?
Don't quote me on it. I just know that it's coming. And I know that I'm already hearing about like, Game of Thrones watch parties and stuff like that. Like out here, they're gonna do it at a castle or something like that. Something ridiculous. Game of Thrones, it's real.
April 6th. That's what I said.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you do it, by the way. I did not pay any mind to Game of Thrones until April, because all I know is said 4/14. I didn't care about the date, and the posters all over the place said 4. I was like, 4, April, got it. Now it's April 2nd. Hey, when does it come out? When is it gonna come on? Sunday, I'm on it.
And I'm
no anticipation. Yes.
And I feel like I have to watch it, and make sure I watch it the night of, because now that I know that not only do I have, is there social media, but I have people in my life that will actively try to ruin it for me. Namely Dr. Blair Kelly and Eldroy Williams, who are now my enemies. Also with us, is an angry black lady. Yeah.
I get no respect around here. I feel like Rodney. I'm like the Rodney Dangerfield of this show.
I feel like you. You need to calm down. The fact is that you also don't listen to me.
I don't see why I should have to.
Okay, and that's why you don't get any respect. right there, you just showed what I mean right now.
Don't point at me.
Ow, don't break my finger. Bam, that is rude.
You're rude. But you know what's exciting? I can finally watch the season finale of last season's Game of Thrones.
You mean the boring finale?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Red Wedding. I was traumatized by the Red Wedding. I didn't watch the season finale because I tend to not watch the season finale until I'm assured that the following season is available for me to watch almost instantaneously. Because I don't like cliffhangers. I don't like having to wait for stuff. So I'll often just, and because I have ADD, I'll just forget. So after the season ended, Game of Thrones sort of died down, and I'm like, oh yeah, I still haven't watched that episode. I better go ahead and do that.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. You should actually watch things way more.
Mm. You shouldn't tell me what to do. You don't know my life. You don't know my struggle. It's hard being a black woman in this country.
Really? Okay, that has nothing to do with Game of Thrones. Okay, so you're gonna stop using that randomly, because now it's just like, hard out here for a black woman. About Game of Thrones. Like, cause people are gonna start to conflate it. They're not gonna know when is it actually hard for you and when is it not. You need to draw a line.
It's hard all the time.
It's not hard about Game of Thrones, ma'am.
I disagree. I don't think you.
We do this Monday through Thursday, and we have, we were off yesterday. There was a couple of, hiccups here, but we are on today. And I know for those watching live that you might go, you guys are freaking late. Guess what? Dumb things happen, and that's all I have to say about that. But we do have a docket full of all types of magic and more magic, more docket, more magic. But we have a couple of reminders, Ms. Gandy.
Reminders! You are watching TWIB Prime, and we're very excited that you're watching us. If you're watching us on blackness.tv, shout out to you. If you're just hanging out in the chat room, shout out to you, fine people. If you're listening to us later, maybe you're listening to us on Stitcher or on iTunes or on TuneIn. If you are listening on iTunes, go to iTunes.com/Twib. You know, you're downloading all your stuff there. You're getting real excited. But have you rated us? I don't think you have. Because I came over to your house and I asked your mom and I said, yo, why aren't you rating us? She said, I don't know. He's got problems. So
I don't think any of that just happened. I think everything you just said
was you don't know my life. Statements. You don't know what I do when I'm not around you. I might be just traversing the country, visiting Twib Nation people, asking them to rate us. Really? Maybe I'm trying to fundraise for you. Why don't you step off and let me do my job?
Because I'm pretty sure when you're not around me, you're at home.
That's true.
And then if you're not, and if you're not at home, you're at one of the places that we went to eat that you now like a lot, and you're just going to go back there over and over and over again. True. Actually, when you get back right down to it, I know your life really well. Like, I feel like this is a false statement that you like to pull out. You don't know my life actually. I could write a book about your current life. Maybe before this, yes, you are absolutely right. Up until you got to the Bay, I didn't know your life. As of now, I know all of your life.
I need to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, shake it up. And please note, I'm not claiming you don't know my life. Everybody knows my life. Yeah. Like, at some point, I'm going to play with a dog. I'm going to go in my garden. I'm going to curse. I'm going to have to kick over wires. And then I'm going to do all over again the next day.
You're going to go out to dinner and you're going to order 4 main entrees.
I don't order 4 main entrees. I order 2 main entrees. That is not, you are overdoing it. And food is love. Shut up. What else do you have?
We got a lot of podcasts. We got 7,000 of them. And if you want to know when any of them are airing, you should be going to our calendar, which can be found at twib.fm/live. That's twib.fm/live for those of you who don't know how live is spelled. And if you don't know how live is spelled, I'm really sorry for you. I feel like something went wrong in your education.
Are you judging these people for having little small bits of absent information?
I mean, I feel like knowing how to spell live is sort of something crucial. But you know what? You know, maybe you're not, maybe English isn't your first language. Maybe you speak Pig Latin.
Maybe you've never had to write the word live. Real talk. Like, oh, come on. There are so many words that like I only read before, and then I'll say it out loud, and they're like, what are you saying? That's not how that word is said. Like, what? What? It's not hyperbole?
Hyperbole.
It's not hyperbole? Like, why would, what do you mean? Oh, I've never said it. So, yeah, you're hating on people who just never had, maybe they're too busy working their 9-to-9 job.
You're right.
To learn how to spell live.
You're right. So, yeah. I'm shaming the working class.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I'm not saying the working class. I'm not saying the working class is not spelled alive, but they might have other things in their life.
In their lives?
That they never had to write down.
At any rate, we really appreciate it if you review us on Stitcher or if you rate us on iTunes. If you do so, we will read your 5-star reviews on Feedback Thursday, which is tomorrow.
Yes, and we take reviews from Stitcher, and we take reviews from iTunes and Stitcher. So if you leave a review, leave 5 stars on iTunes, 5 stars on Stitcher, no matter which way you listen to it, we will do it. And also, you can always write into us, SOTC@twib.me. That is SOTC@twib.me. Write us some feedback. We read letters.
Yeah, we do. We read letters. You know what else we do?
What else do we do?
We ask for money.
We ask for all of the money.
We need all of the money. Like, everything you have right now in your bank account, just give it to us. Okay, maybe not everything. Save some for your family. Maybe you have a vacation planned. But if you have any extra spare cash, why not hand it over? And if you're rich, if you're like a baller, then why not just write us a check for 100 grand? You ever think about that? Why are you so selfish? Give us all your money. We need it. You know why we need it? Because the things that are going on here in the studio, the reason why we're late on some occasion is because there's a lot of stuff to manage. Elon's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. And he needs help. We need to hire some interns. We need to get some staff.
After the intern thing, I mean, yes, we want interns. Let's be clear on that. We would love some interns to work with us, build stuff. But what we actually need are people that are actually skilled at what they do. We need people that actually have technical prowess, that actually can do the things that I do, because that's what we've been doing a lot of now, is that even when we bring people on, sometimes they don't know. Like for instance, when we brought on Aja Richards into Twib Nation, it was like a big deal because, oh my God, she actually has technological capabilities. So like when I'm saying stuff and the rest of the room stares at me in a blank stare, Adria goes, oh, yeah, that thing. I'm like, thank you.
Shout out to Adria Richards.
Thank you.
But the point is, wouldn't it be nice if we could pay Adria Richards?
It would be really nice if we could pay Adria Richards.
Sorry, Adria Richards, we can't pay you right now because we broke. But we thank you for being here. But the point is, You know, give us some money so we can play the pay Adrian Richards. You know, black women need money too. Right?
Yes.
Right?
By not giving us money, you're taking the money out of black women's pockets.
Yeah.
Actually, that's really, really valid, actually. that was a hyperbole there. I mean, hyperbole. That's actually true. You're taking the money out of people's pockets that should be getting paid to do stuff because we work with a lot of black women here.
I'm a black woman and I don't get paid to do this.
That's right. I mean, but.
What?
We'd have to discuss it.
Do you see how I'm treated around here? Do you see what I have to put up with? Sort of nonsense.
Why don't you
stop telling me what to do since you ain't paying me?
So, because I'm not paying you, you don't have to speak into your microphone.
Damn straight. I'll speak over here. What do you care? Yeah, that's right. Another way that you can help us if you don't have any money is you can go to Amazon. No, you can go to twib.me/Amazon and do all of your shopping on Amazon that way. But if you do that, we get a nice little referral. So anything that you buy, a little piece of that comes to us. So it's a great way to support Twib Media without having to, you know, dig into your pockets or, you know, do anything out of the ordinary, anything other than what you would already be doing when you're buying toilet paper, cat food, dog food, flip-flops, oranges, thong underwear, babies.
What?
I don't know. What do people buy on Amazon? No babies. They don't buy babies on Amazon?
What?
I don't know what goes on it. I don't know. I don't know Amazon's life. Maybe they're selling babies. Maybe they got an underground black market baby selling. No?
But I will say this, though, just for folks, because I know there are some folks who haven't jumped on the Amazon bandwagon yet, or they don't have it set up to be able to use Amazon. But what you guys might not know is that, holy crap, Amazon, the referral program, has actually saved our asses a lot as of lately. If it wasn't for that, there'd be some, like, please know, we're constantly in, like, needing money, but Amazon has been what's been keeping us from not just saying, hey, my wife has eggs, not actual eggs from like the chicken coop I want to build, but her actual eggs from her ovaries. We have those. And we might have to sell some of those.
You're going to build a chicken coop?
With Emily's ovary eggs?
No. I'm looking at building a chicken coop. Two, not with Emily's ovaries.
I think he's trying to hatch chickens from your eggs. She's a human white woman. She's not a chicken.
That's, thank you. I don't want to.
You're welcome.
First of all, if we can, like at that point, then we'd all have to become vegetarians because then the Republicans would freak out that we're eating white women eggs. So that's not a good idea. But no, it's a thing. So like the Amazon thing has been a big deal, and there have been a couple of folks who have like thrown in donations here and there. You don't understand, but it's actually a big deal when you do that. We are at a very fragile state right now where we are surviving barely. We have a lot of things happening. I've said it on the show before. I say it again. We operate at a 5K deficit budget per month. And so all money is good money. Always remember that, Imani.
Elon's very fragile. He cries sometimes.
I don't cry only because I'm broken and was taught that men aren't supposed to. But if I wasn't broken that way and society had allowed me to have emotions and feelings, I would be crying on a regular basis. Like, I can't even pretend like that's not, no, I would be, it would be just, I mean, just me just, why is it not stupid? That would be my response.
Oh, dear Lord. Well, maybe you don't shop on Amazon. Maybe you don't have any money, but you do have a Twitter account or a Facebook account. Why not donate that shit to us? Eh? You ever think about that? twib.me/DYA. That stands for donate your account, DYA. We will send a Facebook status or a Twitter update saying something like, hey, mofos, you done listen to Blackness TV lately? Actually, it won't say that. It'll say something reasonable like, here's a link to our latest video on blackness.tv. Would you enjoy watching it? Would you care to pass it along to your friends? Thank you very much. No, really, thank you very much. Back to you, Elon.
Excellent. Thank you, ma'am. And yes, I'm getting back on my grind because I don't know if you know this, Imani.
I don't.
I have health insurance. What?
What?
We have to, like, we need a moment of awesome right there. Like I at the moment, I would do the wave just because of that. Because of Obamacare, as of April 1st, I actually have insurance. And so I get to start taking my pills again. Cause I had stopped, taking my, my ADD meds because I didn't really have that many. And like I said, it's tight here. We don't really, can't really afford actually just going to pay those full prices for the, and doctor's visits for that. But as of, yesterday, I actually went and signed up and like went and like got my paperwork because we still don't have all of our, insurance papers. But like I logged in and was like, I need a temporary card now. I want to go to doctors. All of the doctors, like all of them. And I made my appointment, immediately, for, to actually be able to go to a psychiatrist so I could start to get my, ADD meds back.
You're going to my shrink?
Huh?
You're going to my shrink?
No, your shrink, it won't let me see things for like 6 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that. Which, by the way, that's the best part because we're in Berkeley, California. And I'm wondering, is this just everywhere? But in Berkeley, like I have spent hours on the phone, calling different, psychiatrists and stuff like that. And basically on their phone call, on their actual voicemail, they were like, yeah, I'm not taking any more, clients. Yeah, my client list is full. Sorry. I'm like, how broken is Berkeley that I've called like 30 of them? How are all of them full?
Probably it's a college town. You got a lot of graduate students who are stressed out trying to write dissertations and whatnot. I mean, you know, Dasha Mitchell, she's probably taken at least half of Berkeley's Adderall supply.
I'm not amused by it. And also, it's not Adderall. This is just like to even get in. And then some places are just like, yeah, we do shock therapy. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Shock therapy?
I don't want that. Sorry. Wow. And the guy that I actually got, cause if you've listened to the show before, I've talked about some of the issues I've had with going to doctors and stuff like that. And funny enough, the doctor I got was, cause my last doctor in New York wasn't really a doctor as much as it was my drug dealer. And I'd be like, psst, hey, yo, I need some drugs. And he'd be like, psst, I'm free at 5 p.m. on Friday. Come to my office and sit here for 6 minutes and then I'll give you a prescription. But then you have to pay me for that a visit. And so basically that was it. It was like, literally, I would go there, pay for my drug dealer to give me drugs so that I would be able to continue on. There wasn't really anything after that. But this doctor that I'm gonna have to go to now wants to talk to me and I'm confused by it. Well, I don't want to talk.
That's too bad. You should have gone to mine. He was just like, so you need Adderall? Why? I explained. He's like, okay, good. I like Adderall. Here, have some.
Is he your shrink or is he just your quote unquote drug dealer?
No, he's my psychiatrist.
So yeah, so you go there and talk. Like, yeah. I've never, like, since I haven't actually spoken to a psychiatrist, like, about, like, me or my feelings or whatever since I was, I don't know, like, I was a child. My mom would take me there, but out past that, that's not. I'm not going to cry.
Well, psychiatrists are different than therapists. I have a therapist and a psychiatrist. Yeah, I got issues, America. What? But the therapist is where I go every week. I do cognitive behavioral therapy, which is awesome. It's like, it's therapy for like smart people. So you can learn to think your way out of your depression and mental health issues. And then I have my psychiatrist, who's the one that actually prescribes the various medicines that I'm on. Whenever I go see my psychiatrist, it's literally a 3 minute appointment. When I go with my therapist, it's like 45 minutes of like random whatever. He's trying to get me to do all kinds of random weird things that he gets me to do to basically convince myself that I'm not depressed. So,
yeah. My doctor at the moment is told me flat out that he's going to give me homework. And I'm like, hey, I didn't sign up for homework.
Well, good luck.
I got enough work. I got enough work in my life. I don't need homework. We do this Monday through Thursday. I mean, but the fact is I am going to give it a chance because I have all the insurance. So I am going to go do all the doctor's visits and everything. Like, I want them to just you take that little hammer out. Like, you ever seen sitcoms when a doctor comes in and they do the reflex thing and they hit your knee and stuff like that? I want them to do that on every bone. Just like check, make sure I'm working and that I'm not going to drop dead. Cause I was pretty sure I had a heart attack. I didn't really like to talk about it that much. I think I made a joke about it. I was pretty sure I had a heart attack. And I was like, what am I going to do? I can't afford a heart attack.
You're just like, all right, I'm good.
Actually, if you really want to know what happened, I was in my house. I thought I had a heart attack. And I remember I was in my kitchen and it hit. And I was like, are you shitting me? I literally said the words, are you shitting me? Seriously? And I was like, right now? Not, no. I said no. You laugh. It's, I'm dead serious what happened. And I said, I'm like, we're not doing this. I'm just not doing it. You can't make me do it. What are you going to do? Unless you're going to stop right here and I'm going to pass out, we're not doing this. And then after about 15 minutes, it went away.
You bullied your heart attack into going away.
Because I felt it. Like, I literally half my, like, on one part of my body, like, the left side felt a little bit weird.
You had a heart attack.
My chest started to got really tight, and, like, I was like.
Maybe it was a panic attack.
And I don't know what it was, but, like, I gripped my teeth, and I was like, no. I refuse. And I was telling, like, flat out, like, if you're gonna take me, just take me now. I'm not gonna sit here and just, like, oh god, heart attack. And I'm like, no, just do it or go away. Don't know what happened. Well, we should go to the doctor and find out.
Yeah.
now I have insurance. I'm not going to the ER because our deductible is ridiculous. But after this commercial break, because we do have commercials, after this commercial break, we will be right back and we'll be hitting our docket like a boss. But up first, we will be talking with Monica Brooks of the Mocha Autism Network. Stay tuned.
To lie.
This for them big cars with the muffler dragon, that stuff full of rough cats that play Dungeons and Dragons.
Hi, my name is Aaron Rand Freeman, host of We Nerd Hard. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, as our dynamic team of nerds consisting of PhD candidate Dasha Mitchell, Cylon Emissary Najayla Ree, Fanon Bennett, and our resident sword carrier Elon James White discuss all the things you expect from bitter cynical adults. Check out We Nerd Hard, where adults come to nerd, only on Twib FM.
And we are back. And you might not know this, but it is actually Autism Awareness Day. I believe all of April is Autism Awareness Month, but today is specifically the day that a lot of people are going to be doing a lot of talks around autism. And funny enough, one of the TWIB fellows, Monica Brooks, runs an organization specifically around this called the Mocha Autism Network. And so we're very happy to actually have Monica on the show today to discuss Autism Awareness Month. Ma'am.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, really, ma'am? Just really?
I've been working all day, sir.
Yes, I know. And you actually have a campaign that you specifically launched with Autism Awareness Month. What was that, ma'am?
Yes, it is the Royal Blue for Autism Awareness campaign sponsored by the
Mobile Autism. Pull your mic closer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sponsored by the Mocha Autism Network starting yesterday and running through April. We are going to portray autism in every light and create a diversity of autism awareness that is not usually seen during Autism Awareness Month.
Well, okay, for those who aren't familiar with this, what exactly is autism? Because you hear a lot of jokes about stuff like people, or he's being autistic, or this, that, and the other. It's become almost like a catchphrase within pop culture right now around autism. What exactly is autism?
Okay, so autism is a developmentally difference, a developmental difference among people, either physically, emotionally, verbally.
Mm-hmm.
People say disability. I don't like disability. So I say challenge. What happens, there are a lot of traits. Some of it is they won't look you in the eye. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to express their empathy or for it to be known that they have empathy at all. There is a lot of repeating themselves.
I'm sorry, at the moment you're just describing me, but continue.
If the shoe fits.
Ma'am.
There's nothing wrong with it. You say I'm proud.
I'm not saying anything's wrong with it.
It sounded like it.
I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but the point is that, like, I know that, like, the jokes have been thrown my way around it, and I, at this point, like, I'm aware, like, no, I'm not. As much as it would be hilarious for some that if I were on the spectrum, I actually am not. Weirdly enough, I just don't like humans.
Right. And that's a lot of it. it's not that they don't like humans.
Right.
It's that there's very little use for the humans that are around at that time.
Right.
That isn't a bad or a good thing. And if you've met humans, you would understand.
And your child is on the spectrum.
My child is on the spectrum, diagnosed. I am undiagnosed. Okay. Spectrum.
You're undiagnosed? How do you know you're on the spectrum then?
The person that diagnosed my son said, your son is just like you. He has Asperger's. But we're a school district and we don't do parents.
Okay.
That's it.
And so what exactly is your Royal Blue for Autism like awareness campaign? What exactly are you seeking to have happen?
We would like for people to look for the hashtag Royal Blue for Autism Awareness on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
That's a long hashtag, by the way.
It totally is, but it's worth it.
You should have spoke to somebody about that.
I should have.
Continue though.
And so, once you do that, you check the hashtag and you share what we post on those different platforms. Again, we are on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram. Carrier Pigeon.
I don't think you're on Carrier Pigeon. I think that is actually.
You know why? Because the hashtag was too long. So, so what happens is what we do. So today is World Autism Awareness Day. We are sharing different information from different countries and a diverse spectrum of people, so that people understand that autism isn't an American thing. It isn't a non-American looking thing. I mean, it's for Black people too. And we are showing things from different countries such as Kenya, Australia, Belize, and we're getting all kinds of notoriety. Shout out to Ron DeVoe, who shouted out Royal Blue to Autism Awareness this morning. Only because New Edition is everything. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to let all of you know that we are going to be around even after April is over, because autism lasts all year. Like Black History Month.
What? No, what are you talking about? No, we only have to worry about this for like a couple of days, right?
No.
Oh.
Okay, I'll make you a deal. Mm-hmm. You only need to worry about it for a couple of days if I only have to worry about it for a couple of days.
I don't know. But you have a kid with that. You should probably think about that more often.
And my point is made. You're welcome, America. So what we're doing, so I'd like to also give a shout out to Real Zetas. I know we don't do shout outs on here, but Real Zetas gave us awesome graphics, and they're portraying some of our sorority sisters who are either on the spectrum or have children on the spectrum. And if you go to Real Zetas on Facebook, they are doing profiles for the Royal Blue for Autism Awareness campaign.
Profile. Oh, interesting. And so for just basic information, they should be following the hashtag Royal Blue.
Royal Blue for Autism Awareness.
Royal Blue for Autism Awareness.
Yes.
And they should be following that. Is there anything else? What if people want to find out more about this? Because you hinted on it, but it's something that needs to be discussed a lot more.
Yes.
Around the fact that especially within communities of color, sometimes this is missed. Sometimes the conversation around autism is a little bit problematic, because what people what is actually autism in certain communities, people just go, he just needs to act right.
Yes. And so you can detect autism or on the autism spectrum by 18 months. Children of color are diagnosed by 4. Girls are diagnosed by 7. Because girls are trained to do normal things. So girls are diagnosed last, because we kind of train our girls in the way that normal should be. Hence, we're not diagnosed.
What normal should be?
Yes, like we teach girls, you set the table, you do this, you're supposed to act this way. Gender norms has a lot to do with the misdiagnosis of girls.
In what way?
Because girls are supposed to know how to focus.
Mm-hmm.
We are given tools to focus, to run a household for our husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Those same tools that teach us that are the tools that we need to focus in school and to get good grades. And our boys are taught to be boys, whatever that means.
Well, and that is obviously part of the problem.
Right.
You've pointed out to me that churches where preachers say stuff like that, where the preachers will
tell you to pray on it
as opposed to actually seeking help for your children.
Yes. Instead of saying that's why God gave you therapists.
And this is part of the problem.
But it's a culture, because we are from a culture where we were not taught to be educated. We were told that special education was for where the bad kids were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they put Black people who were uppity. So if you come from a tradition where Black people were thrown in special education and not taught, having someone tell you, I'm going to go get my son tested for this thing that goes in special education, sets off alarms and triggers in a lot of elders.
And this is a problem that is actually across the board, not even just in autism, but just almost with almost any type of mental condition.
Any type of non-visible disability.
Right. Whereas somehow this is considered, it's not really a real thing. Like just like ADD. Like they, right. if you beat them, that'll beat the ADD out of them, or this will beat the autism out of them. There's all these different methods, and please, I'm not saying all black folks do this. I'm saying, but there are parts of the community where this type of conversation happens,
yes.
And it's looked at like almost like autism is for white folks. You know what I mean?
Yes. Autism and treatment for it and support groups and everything. Just like any other support and resource.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to equate something. When Sandy Hook happened, a lot of therapists went into Sandy Hook.
Right.
But you don't see as many going into Chicago. The same thing happens with non-visible disabilities, in that in our areas in which our children are diagnosed 2 years later, so they're already considered a disciplinary problem in the school districts, those schools have less therapy, have less resources. For Spanish speakers, only 10% of pediatricians have Spanish language autism testing services.
Wow.
But we're diagnosed at twice the rate. The numbers look at, all right, one in 68. They were 1 in 88 last year. And it's because we're just now getting diagnosed because more people of color are getting into the game.
Right.
I mean, the numbers, in my head, the numbers haven't changed. It's just that now white people know. It's now that white, I mean, that's what, and so now, Oakland is going to get a lot of autism money because now white people are moving it. It's a gentrification of the diagnosis, which hopefully will help us because groups like mine and other groups for areas of color are going to be around saying, hey, what about us? We need treatments also.
Wow.
And it starts in the schools, but it also starts with the families. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that families know it's okay to get tested.
Mm-hmm.
Special education is only what they would give to all students if they had the budget.
Wow.
That's all it is.
But I thought special education was like if you all of a sudden you're put in a room with rubber walls or something like that because you're a problem.
Yes. And that's what we're taught. My son was not diagnosed for 2 years because I was listening to his grandparents, who two of them dropped out before ninth grade because they were put in special ed for asking for integration.
Wow.
So there's that.
So if you had one thing, if one thing above all else you wanted people to know and take away from this particular month and from your campaign, what is that, the one thing?
I have two things. Is that okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
By the way, you have to, if I ask one, you're supposed to have just one really good one, not just like, it's nah, son. What are they?
There's levels to this, man.
Okay. What are they, ma'am?
Number one, there is no stigma to autism. There is nothing wrong with a child on the spectrum. That's one. See, that's a good one. Okay. Number two, check for the signs and ask for open minds. Don't get discouraged by the people around you who tell you things that sound dated.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one, but I'll leave it.
You have to throw one more out there.
Oh, good. Thanks. Mm-hmm. So also, please check out for areas of color. And if you see something, be understanding. Don't call children bad. You don't know their story. You don't know what that parent is going through. So please be more understanding and patient when you see a child that you think is just bad. That's all.
Very well, then. Well, ma'am, thank you for coming on to specifically discuss this. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we will be talking about this and pushing things out throughout the month of April in support of the Mocha Autism Network's Royal Blue is for Autism Awareness. It's just Royal Blue,
Royal Blue for Autism Awareness.
That's a really long hashtag.
Royal Blue is the color of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated,
I'm still
our co-sponsors.
Need you to shorten this
shout
hashtag.
Out to really? My soul roars.
Really?
Who are going hard
what you're doing right now?
For this campaign.
You know what? Cut her
thank
mic.
You for coming out. Thank you for coming and thank you for having me.
Thank you, ma'am. I swear to God, this is what's wrong with black people. All right, so So we actually do have a lot to deal with on our docket today. It has not been a very quiet couple of days in general across the board. So many different things has actually happened. And apparently, if I don't tell everybody to actually have Monica switch off the camera and then Amani come back, no one's going to move. Hey! The hell, guys? I was just sitting here. Aaron, do you understand how calm and like reasonable? I was like, okay, cool. A camera comes to me. I explained how this works. And then I start to tell people, okay, cool. I'm going to riff while they switch out. And then no one moves.
Oh, when you said riff, I thought you were going to sing.
Get out of my seat, lady.
I hate black people so much.
Elon, I think Elon wanted this to be pretty damn seamless.
Yeah, I thought we were professionals, Aaron. And then everyone, it totally ignored all of my professionalism. All of it. Do you have your earphones back in, Imani?
I do.
Excellent. I don't believe you. But what's on our docket, ma'am?
A bunch of bullshit.
I could have stayed for that.
Frankly. Well, actually, this is something that's actually, I like quite a bit. So apparently the CEO of Mozilla, which is, the parent company that produces, develops, the web browser Firefox. Well, they decided to hire a man by the name of Brendan Eich. Brendan Eich, it turns out, isn't a big fan of the gays. He's come under fire lately because he made a personal $1,000 donation to support California's Proposition 8. Proposition 8, if you may recall, was the proposition that would have banned same-sex marriage. And even though Mozilla, the company itself, has endorsed full marriage equality, Brendan Eich still has not yet personally renounced his donation or his position on same-sex marriage. Enter OkCupid. OkCupid is an online dating site. OkCupid is not amused with Brendan Eich or Mozilla's stance on same-sex marriage. So OkCupid is not trying to encourage its users. There are a lot of people who date online using OkCupid. Trying to encourage its users to use a different browser, to use either Safari. I don't know who still uses Safari, but Google Chrome, which is what I use primarily. So those folks who are using Firefox who attempted to log into OkCupid using Firefox were met with a message that says, "Hello there, Mozilla Firefox user. Pardon this interruption of your OkCupid experience. Mozilla, is it Mozilla or Mozilla?
It's Mozilla.
Okay. I was like, Mozilla is supposed to be like pizza? Mozzarella?
No, ma'am.
Mozilla's new CEO, Brendan Eich, is an opponent of equal rights for gay couples. We would therefore prefer that our users not use Mozilla software to access OkCupid. Politics is normally not the business of a website, and we all know there's a lot more wrong with the world than misguided CEOs. So you might wonder why we're asserting ourselves today. This is why. We've devoted the last 10 years to bringing people, all people, together. If individuals like Mr. Eich had their way, then roughly 8% of the relationships we've worked so hard to bring about would be illegal. Equality for gay relationships is personally important to many of us here at OkCupid, but it's professionally important to the entire company. OkCupid is for creating love. Those who seek to deny love and instead enforce misery, shame, and frustration are our enemies, and we wish them nothing but failure. If you want to keep using Firefox, the link at the bottom will take you through to the site. However, we urge you to consider different software for accessing OkCupid, and they suggest Google Chrome, Internet Exploder, which I think is kind of funny. It doesn't say Internet Explorer. Internet Exploder or Opera.
Are they mocking Internet?
They might be.
I feel like they're mocking Internet Explorer. That's the only way you can actually explain as to why that was happening.
Bold move, right?
It's interesting because, like, a lot of times spaces like that, they like to pull that card where it's like, hey man, we're not really political because everybody, needs, whatever this, program that we're using. So everyone needs to find love, man. So like people who are anti-gay and pro-gay need love. Just like I've heard people, like, what was the thing that Michael Jordan said? That Republicans buy, sneakers?
Oh yeah. Republicans, Democrats both buy my sneakers. So, eh.
Right. And so I'm actually, pretty surprised to see someone actually flat out say, no, we're doing this, because this also isn't like the Cheerios. Like Cheerios, the ad, like I've said this on the show numerous times, I felt like that wasn't like a really like I didn't give them kudos points for that, their action on that, because they were like, oh, the outrage was literally people on YouTube. And I'm like, anyone will throw outrage on YouTube. That's not a good argument. And standing up for cute children. And no, yeah. I'm sorry. No, you don't get points for that. But this could actually, hurt them if they, I mean, but they also probably have the stats. Let's be honest here. It's OkCupid, so they have all this background stats about their users. Mm-hmm. Because they can see when they come there, what they're looking for, blah, 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 what's in their, bios and stuff like that. They probably did a estimation about how bad will this actually hurt us. And they're like, nope, not at all. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that more folks actually stop and think about it that way and go, you know what? You're not going to be hurt by this. The small group of people that would actually actively stop dealing with you because you took a stand on something where the tide in America has changed so much is so small. Mm-hmm. So small.
Yeah, more people need to take a stand. And it's not like, you know, they were telling Firefox users, you can't come to the site. It was just a disclaimer explaining what was going on and saying, if you want to go ahead and use Firefox, please feel free to click through to the site. And even for those people who continue to click through to the site, at least now they're aware that Mozilla has hired this guy that has an anti-gay stance. And they're just, you know, sharing and raising awareness, I think, is always good. Apparently, however, also, three of Mozilla's six board members, including Ike's predecessor as CEO, stepped down, but the organization is denying that those resignations are related to the hiring of Brendan Ike. So,
oh dear.
Interesting.
Well, sesame you guys, and stop being dicks. But after this commercial break, we will continue with our docket. Stay tuned. Magic shall ensue. And we're back.
Are we?
We are back.
Are we?
We are back. Okay. I know it's crazy, but we're actually back. Yeah. What else is on our docket, ma'am?
Mississippi is fucking up.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Mississippi. They're fucking up. The Mississippi legislature. Apparently not at all affected by the shenanigans that went on in Arizona with their anti-gay discrimination bill, has decided to pass a similar religious liberty bill that would legalize discrimination against gay people.
Wait, what? No, not like we yes! did this already.
Yeah, we did, but Mississippi doesn't give a fuck.
But you can't. You have to give a fuck.
They don't.
They have to.
No, they don't. And fantastically, Governor Phil Bryant. He's all for it. He's all for it. The Religious Liberty Bill has been sent. The House has voted to send it to a study committee instead of passing it, with many members of the House in Mississippi noting that it could be used to promote discrimination. However, both the House and Senate have approved a conference report on the bill, advancing it to Governor Phil Bryant with problematic language. Now, Mississippi does not currently have any state or local non-discrimination protection for the LGBT community. So businesses could use this legislation to justify discrimination against anybody not protected by federal law.
What?
Yeah.
This, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What if I said no?
But then if I responded yes, what would you say?
No. Hmm. Is it this deep, people? Is it really this deep? I don't even understand.
Elon,
anymore.
There is a war on Christianity.
It's not.
There
really.
Is a war on Christianity.
You can be a Christian. And no one's arguing.
The homosexuals are out there trying to make everybody else turn into a homosexual.
No,
there is a gay agenda.
But if you're strong in your Jesus, you should be able, you should have like a homosexual, like shield around you. Like when you go Jesus up, it's like all of a sudden like you have like a homosexual shield and some people come at you and they're like, boom, boom, penis at your face. And you're like, no, cause I have Jesus. And you block the shield. And so you wouldn't have it. I mean, that's how Jesus works, right? I mean, it's like,
why are you asking me? I'm a Jew.
I mean, but it wasn't Jesus a Jew.
I mean, I guess at one point until we, I never mind.
Really? What you were saying, like, he died a Jew, man. Just in case you didn't know, Jesus died a Jew. Jesus didn't
have, and he was resurrected as a Southern Baptist Christian Episcopalian religious right fundamentalist born again Jesus guy.
No. Jesus died a Jew, woke up a Jew, stayed a Jew. End quote.
But I had heard that he was born again and then he was born again
Aaron, like, and did you love how people act like at some point during Jesus' tenure as Jesus, he was like, well, he was walking down the street and he was like, you know what? I've been a Jew all my life, but you know what? I'm kind of the shit. So I'm going to be a Christian. I know that sounds crazy, right? Because my name is Christ. And for me to be like a Christian, that has a lot of ego, but trust me, I got this water to wine. What? That's how Jesus rolls, son. Jesus. But like seriously, if your Jesus is so powerful, if your Jesus is so powerful and your gods and your Jesuses and everything is all magical and wonderful and magical, then you genuinely don't need to consistently fight, because the fact is, I thought the closer the apocalypse is coming to everything, that at the same time, that also means that people can go chill out and they can like, go to heaven, and we're getting to that point. And so let the gays have their time, and like, maybe that'll push the apocalypse, and then you guys can go to heaven, and then everything's great. Yay? No? I'm trying to come up with a theory here.
I don't think that that's how it works.
I think that's how your face works.
I get the distinct feeling that, and if some religions think that the devil, which is very present in the gays and the whatever, then whoever else is, they don't like, is more powerful, and Jesus and God requires the help of all of his worshipers to push back the devil and all of his, gay-itudes or something. I'm assuming that's why they're so vehemently pushing back against the tide of things, despite they should just be as comfortable in their religion. I'm assuming that the devil's doing something back. And
shut up, Aaron!
What?
That's not full of Jesus. I like to think of Jesus, in my own way, like, cause everyone looks at things their own way. I like to think of Jesus as, some sort of spell in Harry Potter. And that's how you use it. And so you can defend yourself away from other things. I mean, that's like, I mean, no, is that not how Jesus, I mean, it might not be how Jesus works.
I don't think Jesus was a wizard.
I mean, I believe I can make an argument that Jesus was a wizard. I mean, he was walking across water. He was water to wine. He was raising the dead. He was doing a lot of wizard type stuff. You know what I mean? So he's either a wizard or he's a vampire.
Vampire?
Vampire.
He supposedly died and was chilling like 3 days later.
I suppose, yeah. But he didn't come back and like start sucking people's blood.
First of all, you don't know what he did.
How do we know?
You don't know what he did at all.
That's true.
You don't know how the end of that Last Supper went. I believe he said, drink this blood in remembrance of me. What does that mean?
Yeah, you raise a good point. Was he sparkly?
Huh? Was he sparkly? I assume Jesus was sparkly vampire, not, the other vampires. Like, he was the one he could walk into the sun. He could do other stuff. Apparently he could float, on things. He was like just chilling. He could also eat and stuff like that. He didn't need to, whatchamacallit, specifically. Like, I'm just making stuff up.
But, yeah, you are. It's lovely to watch.
Seriously, leave. I don't, the issue at this point, like, it's so stupid. The issues with, the LGBTQ community is just, it's laughable now. It's just like, just accept it. They aren't bothering you. It's not like if the LGBT community was rolling up into churches, like just like glitter bombing them, like in the middle of prayer, like Our Father who art in heaven, and they're just like fabulous, and they just start throwing glitter everywhere, and they just like pumping house music inside the church, and they're like, they don't respect our religion, and this is bad. Maybe I'll go. All right, well, maybe like hey gays, stop glitter bombing churches in the middle of service. That's a problem. But that's not what's happening. Literally, they're living their life completely, just like doing what they need to do. And people are just like, I am disgusted at the very idea that you exist. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I find this terribly problematic. I don't get it. I want them all to fall down. All right. What else we got? And I want to, because I think we're getting close to our end, man, but like, I want to specifically talk about that the ridiculous story. You know what I'm talking about.
The yes. DuPont Air?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently if you are a rich person and you molest a child and you are convicted of molesting a child, you can be absolved from having to serve time in jail because you just wouldn't do well in jail.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you heard me. Jail ain't for the 1%.
What?
When you say that they wouldn't do well in jail, what do you mean?
Well, I don't really know what that means. You would have to ask Judge Jan Jordan, who in a sentencing order for a man who goes by the name of Robert H. Richards IV, mm-hmm. she considered unique circumstances when deciding his punishment for fourth degree rape. Her observation that prison life would adversely affect Richards confused several criminal justice authorities, who said that her view that treatment was a better idea than prison is typically used when sentencing drug addicts, not child rapists.
Jesus Christ.
Robert H. Richards IV is the heir to the DuPont fortune. So,
and I'm going to assume, Amani, that that has nothing to do with why he got this particular
thing.
It's not because of the DuPont thing. That's just...
I'm sure there was nothing to do with them.
If he was a poor man who was convicted of raping a three-year-old, the judge would have done this exact same thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure if he was a poor man or a person mm-hmm. of color and he had raped a three-year-old, yeah, they would just say, you know, you wouldn't fare well in prison. We're going to go ahead and sentence you to some treatment instead. No. This is really one of those things that is so infuriating that it's kind of hard to put it into words. But the notion that a convicted child molester, I mean, he was convicted of a fourth degree rape.
Let's be clear.
Of his 3-year old daughter.
Okay.
And apparently he was given an 8-year prison sentence. But then the judge suspended all of that prison time for probation, saying that the defendant will not fare well in a level 5 prison setting.
I don't know.
When you
say level 5 prison setting, is this like some sort of a video game? And like level 3, he would have been cool, but level 5 is really hard there. There's a lot more boss battles. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. I honestly don't know what that means.
I also thought that prison wasn't for, I mean, okay, let's actually drill down into why the same thing. It's kind of like an unknown fact that, that child molesters, child rapists don't do well in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are normally attacked pretty regularly because that's looked at as one of the lowest possible crimes you could do. Like, that is like the worst thing you could do. People will not respect you at all. And so you might be attacked, but sometimes even people, they'll be put into solitary confinement because that's the only way to keep them safe. But at the same time, you put them in solitary confinement then. You don't not put them in prison for the rape of a 3-year-old.
Well, do you want to know where he's going to be spending the 8 years that he's not going to be spending in jail?
House arrest, I hope.
Well, he has a 5,800 square foot mansion. In Greenville, Delaware.
Mansion arrest.
Mansion arrest. He owns a home in the exclusive North Shores neighborhood near Rehoboth Beach. I'm sure he will be frequently visited by his family. His great-grandfather is the DuPont family patriarch. His name is Irene DuPont. His father is Robert H. Richards III, who is a retired partner in the Richards Layton & Finger law firm, which is a pretty well-known, respected law firm. So, yeah.
That check must have been substantial. Whatever payment plan is issued to that judge must have been substantial for her to turn on this guy and give him mansion arrest.
Yeah,
a substantial amount of money. Substantial.
That seems like a lot, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that doesn't actually seem to make sense, if you will. That type of like. And here's the thing. So if you were to actively, like, one, Amani, you tell me, can you not be taking your judgeship away for doing something that stupid?
Yeah, you can be impeached. I'm not sure if she's a superior court judge, and I honestly don't know how the judge system works in Delaware, but she's a superior court judge, and she can certainly be impeached, removed from the bench, disciplined by the Delaware State Bar Association, which I sincerely hope that she is, because this is just, I mean, it's just egregious. It's egregious. This man is about 250 to 276 pounds, 6'4", and raped a 3-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, Yeah,
it's
no.
just I don't even understand. And this idea that, you know, there have been a lot of people, Rain, for example, have been railing against this idea that there is no such thing as rape culture. That rape culture is something that doesn't exist. And, you know, we're doing a disservice to the young men and boys and out there who are being told that rape culture exists and that we need to teach boys not to rape.
Wait, who says that that's a disservice to the boys?
Oh, Rain, the rape and incest. I can't remember what the other N stands for. Network. This is like it's Rain. I mean, this is the organization that has been built to deal with rape and incest abuse and survivors.
They're saying there's no such thing as rape.
Are saying that this idea that there's a such thing as rape culture is actually harming somehow to sexual assault survivors. I mean, this has just happened in the last couple of weeks. I know
what's the logic behind it? That doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Let's for a moment talk about this. Let's actually figure out what that means. When people say rape culture, the very idea of rape culture is the fact that rape in our society is not looked at as one that big a deal half the time. Two, it's looked at normally, and they blame the victim of the rape. What are you wearing? Where were you at? And the people who actually commit the rape, most times men, are given passes by boys will be boys. Well, they were drinking. Well, she shouldn't have let him on. Why was she at his room at that time of morning? What blah blah blah. So we literally have an entire set of arguments that are built to denigrate the woman, God forbid she speaks up about these things. We literally have in our military statements that if you're in the middle of a rape, it might be better to let it happen, let it ride. People will have literally lost their military careers for bringing up rape against a superior. So you can go down a list in all sections of our society where rape is considered okay. Even when you talk about the Catholic Church with the raping of little boys, because that's what it is. It's not just the priest or just they were raping little boys. And when you talk about that, when the Catholic Church dealt with it, all they did was get rid of the priests. Those priests didn't go to prison or anything like that. It was specifically hidden from that way. They just had to leave the church because it was making the church look bad.
They didn't even have to leave the church in some instances.
In every section of our society, there is some sort of way that we've built up a method to protect the rapists and not the people who are the victims of this. And you're going to argue there's no such thing as rape culture?
Yeah, and really the most shocking, I've looked it up. RAIN stands for the Rape and Incest National Network. I was forgetting the word national. But if you may recall, the White House has recently put together a task force to deal with rape and sexual assault on campuses. And so what RAIN did is they advised, and actually Wagatwe Wanjuki is one of the people who has been, she's a member of Twib Nation. She's one of the people that has been actively involved.
What are you talking about? No one knows about that.
Oh. Well, no, she was here and she was interviewed. Mm-hmm. She's a member of Twib Nation. I didn't say she works for Twib Media. Jesus Christ. But the point is that she and a lot of other people, including a lot of women of color, have been very, very staunch about trying to do something. These are young women, young feminists of color, have been very staunch about trying to do something about the scourge of rape and sexual assault on campuses. So when an organization, when the largest anti-sexual violence organization, RAIN, actually advises the White House to stop using words like rape culture because men feel that it's accusatory, and because men already know that rape is bad.
Our fifis, man. You can't be getting up in our fifis like that, okay? We are fragile flowers.
Right. And apparently, but when you talk about rape culture, the term muddies the conversation about how to help survivors and risks alienating allies who don't like term rape culture.
Are you shitting me?
I am not shitting you. I wish that I were shitting you, but I am not.
This is as upsetting to me as when people talk about how we're not allowed to say racist because it upsets people.
Right.
Even if it is racist.
Right.
I don't have time for the bullshit. You know what? If it's rape culture, it's rape culture. If it's racist, it's racist. Sitting here coming up with catchy new terms and phrases in order not to actually call people out so their feelings don't get hurt isn't the best method of going about this. Why don't we actually make people deal with the reality of shit? We live in a fucking matrix.
We do live in it. Well, I mean, Scott Berkowitz, who's the national head of RAIN, which I found it very interesting that the national head of RAIN is a man. But yeah, he seems to think that rape is not caused by cultural factors, but rather by the conscious decisions of a small percentage of the community to commit a violent crime. Now, of course, the idea that rape culture doesn't exist and that rape culture doesn't play a factor in the conscious decision that certain people take to commit that violent crime somehow is being lost in the conversation, because we don't want to be seen as accusing men, all men, of being rapists. But the thing that is ignored, and someone put it, I can't remember, Schrodinger's rapist. I think it was Kate Shepard or someone wrote an article called Schrodinger's Rapist, where she talks about how when women are out there negotiating the world, every man she sees could possibly be a rapist.
Right.
And so every man that I see when I'm in an elevator alone, if I'm a woman and I'm a single woman, I'm alone with a man in an elevator, I'm clutching my keys. If I'm walking through a parking lot and it's dark, I'm clutching my keys. Every person you see could potentially be a rapist. And that is because of rape culture. That is because of a culture that tells women, as you said, don't drink so much, don't wear short skirts, as opposed to telling and teaching men how to respect women and teaching men what consent is. And that consent is something that can be taken away at any given point up until the point that sex actually occurs. Even while sex is actually occurring, consent can be taken away at every point.
At a certain point, man, we already started. Now yeah. What?
Well, you know what? Whenever you start, a woman always has the right to say stop. So does a man. I don't want to get it trapped into a box by saying, you know, rape is something that happens only to women. Primarily, it's women, but men can be raped too. And if we can't get the rape culture, the rape problem under control for women, imagine what it's like for men who are raped, who also have to deal with the added pressures of being seen as having been emasculated or not being, you know, masculine enough or being pussies or whatever. So I think it does a disservice to survivors. It does a disservice to people, to humanity, to society, when we start trying to police words that people are using in order to explain how to deal with rape because we're afraid of hurting people's feelings.
But you know what? I believe it goes a little bit beyond that, Amani, because the fact is that this isn't just the idea of policing words, right? Because if you ask me, like, honestly, I believe we should be more careful with words, and that people should be called out when they use words incorrectly. Because that's why we have a bunch of folks who don't understand exactly how racism works or what racism is. Like, there's so many different things that people don't get or don't understand, and we're not allowed to call them out and say, like, hey, you're wrong. That's not what that means, because somehow everyone's opinion is valid. No, it's not. Your opinion's not fucking valid. Get over yourself, all right? Not everyone's opinion and not everything you think is fucking valid. So it's not about the policing words here. It's about literally ignoring the concept that this thing exists. And to me, that is like, for us to get caught up in that, like the idea that somehow we are not in an environment that is obviously pro the rapist and not the person who has been a victim of the rape. This is not even something that's like, we're not being groundbreaking. We're not being revolutionaries and bringing something to the table that's just not been seen before. This is actively what has happened. When you have, like, the fact that any of us have ever heard the term, well, why was she in his room at that time of night? Or why was her dress so short? Well, she shouldn't have been wearing that. Well, she shouldn't get drunk. That serves her right. This is all statements that we all have heard at one point or another in our lives, which means that this has been normalized. And when something is normalized, it becomes part of the culture. And when the rape becomes part of the culture, guess what it's called?
Rape culture?
This is stupid.
It is stupid. And it's particularly stupid that, you know, now we're arguing about whether or not we can use the term rape culture and what that means. Meanwhile, rich white dudes are getting off. Well, I don't want to say getting off. Rich white dudes are not being held accountable for raping 3-year-olds. That's the world we live in now. Justice. Danny Grand.
My stomach. I can't. My belief. I've gotten into a beef before with folks who complain about the fact that I say I don't like humanity or humans and how everything works. And then every day on the show, I feel as if I'm giving more ammunition to my argument. And I would argue this is a prime example of that. This is bullshit. That's some idiocy on another level that the judge would somehow put him in prison. And you know what? There's another argument to be made around this. It's not the argument that I want to make, but the other argument to be made is that we live in a society that is punitive and it never wants to, sit down and actually have the conversation around what happens, how do you get people help, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? That is a valid argument and it's true. We don't do that. We don't, seek that. But what you do have to acknowledge in this situation is that apparently, magically, the time where it's like, hey, maybe we should stop and not punish is when it's a rich white dude. Mm-hmm. Let's just have that moment where, like, yes, we live in a punitive society, so you know what? Let's reexamine how we do that. And so, you know, the first person to get some play here, rich white dude.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with him then. Rest of y'all, fuck y'all. Y'all need to go to prison. All you browns and poors and stuff like that. Prison for you.
He's got a 5,800 square foot mansion. I mean, who's going to upkeep that if he's in jail?
That dude could go play like a good game of paintball with like 20, 30 other people in the amount of space he has.
Mm-hmm.
His suspended sentence is going to be just a party for him, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
This is a great way of ending the show.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
But I'm going to set things on fire otherwise. And we don't have anything happy, so sorry about that. Tomorrow is Feedback Thursday, so hopefully it'll be a happier show in general because we'll be reading things that you guys have to say. But you know what? You guys might send us all negative things, so it could be a sad show tomorrow too. Whatever the case is, remember, shout out to the chat room at twib.me. That is SOTC at twib.me. We'll be reading your feedback tomorrow. Remember, it's Mocha Autism Awareness Month. It's Autism Awareness Month, and Mocha Autism Network is doing its campaign. Make sure to follow that and follow Monica Brooks on Twitter. And I want everyone on fire. Shut it down, Aaron.
So from now on, whenever you hear these horns, just know. You are now entering the blackness. Collard greens, cornbread, and the catfish. Malcolm X and Dr. King with a black fist. We are laughs, son. This is blackness. You are now entering the blackness. Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, and the classics. Real love, the opposite of ratchet. We are laughs, son. This is blackness.